हरे कृष्णा, आई वेलकम यू फॉर दिस भगवद गीता क्लास। विल फर्स्ट स्टार्ट विद द प्रेयर्स। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। नमाम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताका स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी हैव कंप्लीटेड चैप्टर 1 सम लॉन्ग टाइम बैक। सो व्हाट आई विल डू इज आई विल जस्ट क्विकली recap what we did in the chapter 1, and then we are going to start the chapter 2 today. So in the chapter 1, the first 27 shlokas, we discussed the details of the war, you know, like what was happening there, what Duryodhan said, how he asked questions, and how Arjuna asked Krishna to bring the chariot in the middle of the two armies. And then he started looked around, and they were all assessing the strength of each of the armies. And then they blew their conch shells, Krishna and the Pandavas. And then when they came in the middle of the battlefield, Arjuna started expressing his doubts. So you can see how Arjuna was asking all these questions. Not that he did not know the answers. He knew most of the answers, but now this Bhagavad Gita is for all of us. So he has made the media. So when Arjuna started asking, he did not even ask first, you know, he was telling Krishna. He was like a guru himself, you know, he was telling all the points that Arjuna brought in were all very valid point, logical point from our point of view, you know, like the materialistic point of view, everything was perfect. He was worried that why he should fight with his own people, you know, gurus, relatives, friends. So he was in a way looking very, very upright, on the very moral ground, very logical. And he was telling Krishna, you know, like, hey, why you are asking me to do this? I don't have to do this. And what will happen? He just even tells the results. And this one continues. In the second chapter, even when Krishna tells him that you are not right, why you are asking this question, and Krishna, look at, you know, how Krishna says, what Krishna says. Krishna says, he has been keeping quiet so far. You know, the first chapter Krishna doesn't even speak. In the second chapter, after Arjuna stopped talking, then Krishna says, hey Arjuna, all your questions are not okay. He was not happy with his questions. And even Krishna tells Arjuna that your questions are coming from a person who I thought is very intelligent, you know. But your questions are not intelligent. And he even calls him impotent. He says, You are talking like an important. The word is klebyam. Klebyam means important, you know, like, you know, you are like acting like a coward, important. So why this kind of questions? You know? And then Arjuna is still not done. He keeps asking. And he gives further, he has further queries, he has further something to say. So the acharyas, the gurus, you know, they came up with, they said Arjuna had five situations, you know, his logic, his all his argument was based on five things, which I am going to share with you, and then we'll talk about the second chapter as such. So the five things which Arjuna, the five points which Arjuna came forward was, you know, first was of course his compassion. He was acting like a very compassionate man, worried about everything. Why violence? Why this? You know, why kill our own people? So this was Arjuna's first argument, you know. He just said, oh, look at that. All of my gurus, friends, relatives, why should we fight? Why should we kill them? That was the first thing. So he's looking like a very magnanimous person. Then comes enjoyment. You know? Enjoyment in the sense, he says, even if I win, what is the use? Because all these people would have been killed. All his cousins and other people. Because we know that at the end of the Mahabharata war, there were hardly few people left. All the able-bodied persons died. So that was his second argument. Why should I do it? You know, with whom will I enjoy? What is the use of this? The third thing was sinful reactions. You know, he was saying, if I do this, I will get sinful reaction, killing my own guru and so on, grandfather, guru. So third was his fear of sinful reaction. This was the third point brought in by Arjuna. The fourth one was destruction of the family traditions. You know, he says if all this happens, all the able-bodied people are killed, then the women of the women in the society, they got polluted. When they get polluted, they have varna sankara. That means children born out of wedlock, not proper. So this was his another argument. He said, hey Krishna, why you want to finish everything, you know, like this? Why you want me to finish everything? Krishna is not finishing. So this was his other point he brought in. And finally he comes with he knows that as he's talking, he knows that he's not right. Otherwise he would have been just firm on that. So he says, Krishna, now I'm confused. Now I'm totally confused. I don't know what direction to go, what to do. So at that point, in the shloka number 7 of second chapter, he says, now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So this is the position of Arjuna now. So again, you know, like, let me elaborate a little on each one of them, the five things. We did discuss in the last class, but just I am trying to reaffirm, you know, because there has been a lot, big gap, as I said. Arjuna, from where the compassion comes? So we should understand that Arjuna is a devotee. A devotee of the Lord is naturally compassionate. It's not artificial, you know. Sometimes people show some artificial compassion, you know, just some lip service, as they say. But a devotee is naturally compassionate, because that is the quality. The 26 qualities of a devotee, the first quality is compassion. Compassion for what? Compassion towards all other living entities. So that's why a devotee is naturally non-violent, naturally vegetarian. So many natural things, you know. Naturally soft, humble. I'm talking of a real devotee now, you know. So, the compassion is, as I said, they say, para dukhi dukhi. Para, para means others. When others become miserable, the devotee feels compassion for them. He becomes also miserable a little, because he thinks, what is this, why is going on like that? Just to give an example, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of Hare Krishna movement, he was in Vrindavan, nice place, holy place. He was writing his commentaries, translation and commentaries on the scriptures. Good weather, good in the sense he loved that weather. Whenever he was sick in America or Europe, he'll go to India, and he just being in India, he will become all right, because the weather is so nice for him. You know, the hot, he needs hot weather. Here he had not seen sun for many, many days sometimes. So, with all that, he left all that comfortable position and came all the way to the west. Gets down at Boston Pier, and there his first question is, "Oh Krishna, what a horrible place you brought me." I don't think people will be interested in hearing about you. But of course he had tremendous faith in Krishna. So he said, now that you brought me here, you please take care of me. You tell me what I should do. You make my speech more powerful. You empower me, in other words. If you empower me, then I can still give the message that I am supposed to give. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. Out of what? Out of pure compassion. He was feeling sad that people are absolutely not taking up to Krishna consciousness. People are not leading their life as per the requirement. Because of course Kali Yuga is progressing. So compassion, very important. But again, there are two types of compassion, you know. One is a material compassion, and one is a spiritual compassion. Prabhupada had spiritual compassion. Materially, what he could have done, you know, he himself had no money. He just came with 40 rupees, those days it was just $8, $5 or $8, I don't remember. But he had a spiritual compassion. He was feeling sad that people are not becoming spiritually conscious. Because otherwise in the West, now it is a little tough here, but earlier it was easy, you know. Money was not an issue, everybody had money. So that was not the reason. Then, why I am saying all this is because Arjuna's all queries, all his so-called knowledge was at the materialistic level. So his compassion was also, oh, the person will die, then you know I will get. And then of course, as I said, he was worried about the sin. That I will have to face the sin. He forgot his own, like Krishna reminds him, that he is a kshatriya, and a kshatriya, see, like, if I or you murder somebody, then we'll get the punishment. But in the war, when the soldier kills so many other soldiers, he doesn't get any punishment. He is rewarded. Same thing, see, the situation changes. So, his worry that it will be very sinful is also, Krishna takes care of that in the Bhagavad Gita, you know. So much so that at the end of it, he still gives him a little thing. Okay, even if you have some sins still, I'll take care of them. Just surrender to me, I'll take care of all your sins. Because Arjuna asked him that question in the third chapter, that why do we commit sin? I don't want to commit sin, I'm a good man, but we are forced to commit sin. Why? And then Krishna gives him the answer. So I'm not going to go into those details. Now his very thing about enjoyment was also material, right? Because what is he saying? What is he saying? That if all these friends, all the relatives who are on the other side, if they die, my cousins and so on, Kauravas, that what is the use? You know, where do I go and enjoy? And then he becomes a little renunciant, sannyasi also. You know, he just says, it is better for me that they kill me, unarmed. Another trick of Arjuna, unarmed. They can kill me, I have no problem. He knows that a Kshatriya will not kill other Kshatriya unarmed, you know. That's the quality of a Kshatriya. You will not fight with somebody who is unarmed. So Arjuna even tries that. He tries various angles. And then he says, so what is the use of this enjoyment, you know? I mean, what is the use of winning all this? And then he proposes that if you think, if you allow me, I will rather go and live by begging, you know, live by begging. He doesn't remember that a Kshatriya, if he is defeated in the war, it is very, very shameful for him. And suppose he runs away from the war, it is more shameful. That's what Krishna is going to tell him, obviously. But Arjuna is arguing, oh, I can beg, you know, I'm very humble. I don't have to fight. He forgot that they were the ones who wanted those five villages from the whole kingdom. Then they said, okay, at least give us five villages. So if it is not for enjoyment, what for? So when thank you. The next one Arjuna talks about is the family tradition. The family tradition. He says, if families are broken, as I said, the men of the family die, then the women become unprotected. Of course, he is talking of the Vedic culture. Now, today's culture, women are becoming so-called liberated, you know, they have started living alone, single mothers, and that's not an insignificant number, it's a huge number here, at least in America it is 27% to 20-30% women are single parent, single mother. And so this is all there, see, you can see that this was spoken thousands of years back and today it is happening. And there is no man in the family, finish, you know, the women become polluted. Bhagavatam says a woman should be always protected by men. When she is a child, she is protected by father. Then she gets married, husband protects. And then when she becomes old, the children, son protects. Like that, that's the tradition. So if this tradition is broken, then there will be chaos in the society. That's Arjuna's other argument. But as I said, he, especially in the second chapter, I'll just quickly read the translation of the first six the shlokas where Arjuna starts speaking. Three or four he speaks. Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? This is another argument. They are all worshipable. They are my seniors. How can I kill them? It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, again, he is not he's not giving them a clean chit. He says they are doing all this to get some worldly gain, but they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. Another thing, my hands will be tainted with blood, so I don't want to live like that. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet, they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So, having exhausted his arguments for the time being, he asks more questions throughout the Bhagavad Gita. But right now, he says, "Oh Krishna, now I am confused." Because he knew from the beginning that his arguments are not very solid. He knew that it's just very frivolous. But he posed as a great Acharya himself. But now he is saying, so having understood this situation, he says, Karpanya dosha, miserly weakness. Dosha means weakness, fault. Karpanya means krupana, it comes from krupana, miserly person. In today's material world, we say somebody who is not spending money, he has a lot of money but he doesn't spend money, we call him miserly. But Srila Prabhupada says, people who have taken the birth as a human being and acting like animals, they are miserly. They are not making use of their human life. That's why they are miserly. So now, what does he do in that confusion? So he immediately surrenders to Krishna. Right in the beginning, he says, Krishna, please instruct me. I accept you as my teacher. He says, Shishyasteham. Now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. So this is the way of learning, you know. When we want to learn something, this is how we have to learn. Just surrender. Just take. That's what Bhagavad Gita says in the 4th chapter also. Accept a spiritual master, serve him, and then inquire submissively. That's the system. Okay. So now this is the position of Arjuna, and he is asking Krishna to take over. Because otherwise there is no need of Bhagavad Gita, right? The very first place he came there because he had these doubts in his mind. So now the second chapter is considered as the Sankhya Yoga. The first one was Vishada Yoga. Now it is Sankhya Yoga. And Srila Prabhupada calls it as Bhagavad Gita, contents of Gita summarized. So this is like a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Trailer. You can call it a trailer. So this one, second chapter, we can divide into 5 sections. There are 5 sections in this chapter. Namely, doubt, sanshaya, which is what we saw just now. We discussed that today and also last time. Sanshaya, that's the first one. Second is jnana, knowledge, transcendental knowledge. That's the second section. What is the transcendental knowledge? Who we are, what's a soul, what's a super soul, what is the difference between soul and body. The whole science of soul is discussed in the second section. From 11 to 30. Discusses only that, you know, complete qualities, everything. That we are going to take next week. The third one is called Sakama Yoga. Sakama means do anything with desire of results, you know, desiring results. That's what we are doing. All our education, profession, everything is Sakama. We work so that we can get something. We can get profit or salary or good marks or whatever. You know. So it's all called sakama. That is, still Krishna has not come into picture. It's all for us. It also comes under what is called as karma kanda. Karma kanda portion of Atharva Veda. That says, that gives us all the do's and don'ts of the material life. That's why we do all these pujas, havan, yagya, so on, you know. This is all part of karma kanda. So that's the third section. And then the fourth section is called Nishkama Yoga. Nishkam, that means no desire. You do it without any expectations. So that is called Nishkama Yoga. And that also is called as Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga, intelligent. Using our intelligence to link with Krishna, with link with the Supreme. So that is called Buddhi Yoga or Nishkama Karma. Nishkama Karma, not Yoga. Earlier was not Yoga, sorry. It is Sakama Karma, Nishkama Karma. Still not gone to Yoga level. But yes, when you do Nishkama Karma, you are connected with the Lord. And finally, Arjuna wants to know about Sthita Pragya. Sthita Pragya. That means, who is the person who studies in intelligence, who doesn't deviate, who is equipoised, and so on. You know, he just asks Krishna. He literally asks, how does this person look? How he walks, how he sits, how he talks? What are the symptoms of a person who is completely surrendered to Krishna? So these are the five sections we are going to discuss. Out of that, as I said, one we have completed today. The rest we will take next week. Okay? So I wish all of you a very, very happy Guru Purnima. And may Krishna bless you. And may our journey continue without interruptions. And I'm really thankful to all of you for bearing with us. Okay? So if you have any question now, you can type in the chat box. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any question? Did you all hear it properly, clearly? Okay, Kanya heard it all, saw it all. Hare Krishna, Manikanta. I think you joined late. I am seeing few people joined and dropped out. I don't know the reason. Small problem with the net. I know, I had a huge problem with the net. I was really struggling. Yesterday only I got it back. Happy Guru Purnima to all of you. Okay, let me stop this recording so that we can keep talking.